going to start with 15, if folks can start pulling that out. Emily's coming right back. Margie just ran to her room. So folks want to pull out 15. We're going to do 15, 17, and 18 next. So why don't you start looking over 15? And then as soon as there's Emily, we have just waiting for Margie, and then we will, I think we could go ahead. Huh? Yeah, do the introduction. So can we get started? So what we're going to do on 15 is Caitlin's going to give us a bit of an overview, and 15, 17, and 18, we need to just look at, these were finalizing the recommendations from the small teams with updates. These all have updates to address the public comments. So we're going to continue where we started this morning. We're going to take recommendation 15 on its own, and we're going to invite Caitlin, who's going to give us a bit of an overview of the proposed small team approach and the rationale. Okay, Caitlin?
Are we ready? Thanks, Gina. This is Caitlin Tubergen for the transcript. So the small team A met to discuss recommendation 15 and agreed to preserve the recommendation of the language, with the exception of one of the public comments we received, which was from, I believe, two URS providers who noted that a couple of small tweaks in the temp spec language would really clarify some of their issues. And so the proposed changes from the URS providers are included below under item B. So when you're in your small groups, if you could carefully read those, and if you have any questions, you should refer to the public comment review tool where those comments were submitted and see if you agree to those changes.
Is that clear? Anyone have questions about recommendation 15? So you need to read the language under the proposed small team approach. Do folks need 10 minutes for this? Okay. 10 minutes to caucus with your group and review, and then we'll come back. And just a gentle reminder, the two questions we're grappling with here is there any group that thinks the concerns expressed in the public comments are not sufficiently available? I mean, is it sufficiently addressed through the proposal? And then is there any group that can't live with the proposed language? Caitlin?
One more quick clarification for the current language versus proposed language. Similar to the other small team summaries, which I did, any bracketed language means that is what the URS and UDRP provider is proposing to add to the current language of the temp spec, just in case there's the confusion. Next time we do this, I promise not to use brackets.
So, Caitlin, if I read this correctly, we have the initial report language, which stands. We have, and then we have two additional sections that are proposed language. So there's three paragraphs of proposed language. Is that correct?
So, good question, Gina. To clarify, so the initial report language is a recommendation that's essentially saying leave the temp spec language as is. However, the small team met and discussed some proposed amendments to the temp spec language, not to the initial report language. The proposed amendments to the temp spec language and the various sections are clarified in the language here.
Okay.
Are what the groups need to discuss. Do they agree to those changes to the temp spec?
Perfect. Okay, so everybody, please read. We're going to give you 10 minutes in your caucus to discuss and determine if it's responsive, the proposals are responsive to the public comments, and if your group can live with this language. Okay, so I'm going to start the clock, 10 minutes. Okay, are we ready to come back? So, Caitlin gave me a clarification on the break. So the question before us is item B, which is the new proposed language for the temp spec. And if we say yes to that, then the initial report language above would have to be edited accordingly to reference the changes in B. So I just needed to clarify that. So the question on the table is, with the, you know, is there anyone who can't live, any group, I'm sorry, we're at groups, and if you have a group spokesperson, that would be helpful. Is there any groups that can't live with the proposed language B? Any groups? So non-commercial? Okay, non-commercial. Can you frame your question, and we'll see if any reps from the small team can help you understand the rationale.
Oh, it's not that I don't understand the rationale. I understand it perfectly well. That's why we oppose it. Now, first thing to understand is that there was not agreement on this recommended change within the small team. There was an agreement to bring it before the plenary precisely because there was not agreement. The reason we don't agree it is there's twofold, really. Number one, read the recommendation. It says, there are interactions between the UDRP and registration data disclosure, and if we're going to change that, it should we should leave the temp spec in place until we get new policies or new recommendations from the RPM. Now you're proposing to modify this to say, well, let's do change the UDRP procedure right here and now, all right? And so the recommendation is contradictory to the amendment. And the reason we don't like the amendment is because it's essentially a disclosure or access issue, which should be left to the disclosure and access discussion. We're happy to discuss the reasonableness of the idea of disclosing information to people who are filing UDRPs. We think that's a legitimate concern, but that's an access discussion. That's a disclosure discussion. And so, once again, we are being bogged down by attempts to put access into phase one instead of phase two, and it really makes no sense to have this recommendation that says wait to settle this problem when we either modify the UDRP process or create an access mechanism, and then go on to say, but we're going to solve it now by requiring complainants to get disclosure during filing a UDRP. So you're actually changing the procedures of the UDRP there. Another minor point, if you do decide to include this language, and I'm sure hope we don't, this business of DOE complaints, this is very American legal. I mean, we've got to use generic language that would make sense to people who are not lawyers in the United States who know what a John Doe or Jane Roe filing is. You just can't have that kind of.
Okay, thanks, Milton. So, understanding that there was not consensus, you know, agreement in the small team, I'm just wondering if anyone who from the small team who was, you know, participated in crafting this language could speak to the concerns from the non-commercial stakeholder group around that this really, these are really issues that need to be grappled with in phase two and the access. Anyone from the small team able to speak to that? Margie, go ahead.
Sure, this is Margie. We disagree with what Milton said. Essentially, it's not just this is not an access issue. And in fact, we've pointed out that we will talk about the access issue later. There were some comments that related to access. What we simply did was actually address Milton's concern about what does DOE mean, and we replaced the words DOE with unidentified respondent, which is, I think, a little more accurate, and I think Alan may have been the one that said we don't know what DOE means, and so that was the reason we came up with that suggested language. And so we feel that this is an important enough change that shouldn't wait until after the work of the RPM group, and that's the reason that as part of considering the comments, we've made these changes and noted that the access discussions will be later.
Great. Thank you, Margie. Anything new to add, Diane? And then I'll come to you, Alan.
Margie's point is also the correction.
You need to be in the mic.
the correction, Diane Plott for the record, the correction of examiner as opposed to provider, which is a needed change. So we're really just taking exactly what exists and making it more accurate and clarifying it.
Alan Woods?
Alan Woods for the record. I'm not going to add very much more to that, but just to confirm, I actually had this conversation with one of the providers, Vit Palovic, from the MFSD, which is the Italian provider. And, I mean, she was just saying that the way the temp spec was written, probably because they didn't have a consultation before the temp spec came out, they were like, this just causes an issue with us. So it is. I think Milton's first point is perfectly well made, that we can't have the recommendation and then recommend change. So, yes, there will need to be a slight language update in that. But I think that the two... Well, yeah, but I mean, what we need to do is, I think we just take the pragmatic approach, and that those suggested changes to the temp spec in order to make it viable for the providers at the moment. I don't see that as being an access issue at all, to be perfectly honest. I think it's just changing a process to allow them to continue doing what they do.
David?
This is David. Milton, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here, because the proposed language addresses one of the concerns you brought up, so I'm just worried about this sheet being too confusing, that we're all a little bit in a muddle. So the only suggestion, as I understand here, is keep the temp spec the way it is with these two minor changes.
To the
temp spec. Yeah. Keep the temp spec as it is regarding this language. No, I'm calling it, the recommendation is to keep the temp spec the way it is, right? With two minor changes, one getting rid of that DOE reference, right? And the other is providing these extra words around complaint against an identified respondent, which is essentially getting rid of DOE. Right, so I just want to make sure, Milton, this sheet's confusing.
No, I'm not confused. I think
okay.
You are. The
okay.
The recommendation is saying we are maintaining the temporary specification in relation to URS and UDRP until such time as these are superseded by recommendations from the RPM's PDP working group. Okay.
Right.
Now,
with the exception of this language, DOE.
No, it says, forget about DOE. Okay, we'll say unidentified registrant, unidentified respondent. Now you're saying, but we're going to change the procedures of the UDRP.
I don't think it does. Does anybody in the group?
Sorry,
go ahead.
It says we will change the procedures of the UDRP so that the provider can provide the relevant contact details of the registered name holder after being presented with a complaint. Is that part of the procedure now?
So the answer that wasn't on a mic was, yes, that's what's part of the procedure is now, and that's what's in the temp spec.
The temp spec now says that then why do you need to clarify that if that's in the temp spec? Because the recommendation says you're maintaining the temp spec.
Yes, Alan. Oh, and then Barry. Ammer. Okay, so I'm going to go to Alan, and then I'll come to Alan, and then Ammer.
Okay. This sheet lists... The current language, it lists the current language and proposed language. The current language is the words. So we are suggesting replacing DOE with something that is meaningful to people around the world. We are suggesting changing, in the first one, the examiner shall provide relevant contact details to the provider, because it is not the examiner, the person sitting on the bench, who provides the details. It is we're correcting errors or bad language in the temporary spec.
Okay. All right.
That's all.
That's good.
Now, maybe the introduction needs to be reworded to say that, but that's all we're doing.
Right. Does that – Ammer, and then I think I'm going to check in, because I think we have clarification now, and we can move on off of Recommendation 15. Ammer?
Thanks, Gina. This is Ammer. I'm not entirely sure that the temp spec says that the registrant data will be disclosed to a third party. UDRP and EOS are currently designed under the context of, you know, an open and public who is. So technically, there would be no disclosure of this data because it's already public. And now the proposed new language we have in front of us is saying that, you know, there's this new processing activity that's going to take place where the examiner is going to disclose this data to a third party without us as a team going through the regular, you know, due diligence and working out the legitimate interest and the corresponding legal basis, which is what we've done for every other processing activity. So I'm a little puzzled why we're recommending this at this point without going through those very necessary steps first. I mean, we've done it for almost every other processing activity, and I think we should do that with this as well. But again, I think this is an access issue not that we should be discussing at a later stage of the PPP, not right now.
So, Amr, Alan Woods is going to respond to your concern because there's a different understanding in the room right now. Go ahead.
Alan Woods for the record. Hey, Amr. So Appendix D and Appendix E of the temporary specification specifically states that the registry operator in the URS must provide the URS provider with full registration data for each of the specified domain names. So there's actually a positive obligation on the registry operator in the text of the temporary specification. So, I mean, that's there. I mean, that, and when you're talking about the discussion of whether or not we should change that. I mean, yeah, that is part and parcel of what we need to look at as well in other recommendations as well, if I'm trying to think of the correct one. I've kind of lost my train of thought, to be honest. But, no, it is in the temporary specification, so it's there.
They disclose it to the provider of the dispute resolution, but not to the complainant. Is that right?
Yeah, we're not talking. It's not talking about the complainant. We're talking about the provider, and these are to help the providers.
Folks, let's hear from Alan, see if we can close this thing up. I feel like we are making a big fuss out of some corrections to the temp spec about a couple words, like DOE. Alan, can you help out and clarify?
I'll try. It would be interesting to re-legislate the URS and the UDRP. And it would be interesting to legislate whether they should continue under GDPR. I don't think that's what we're here for, and to be honest, I think it's a losing battle if we were to try. We've already said we don't want to make major changes in how the UDRP works, and all we're changing here is to correct an error in the temporary spec, which said the examiner will release the data instead of the provider. And we're changing the word DOE complaint to something that's understandable. That's all we're suggesting.
Hey, Alan Woods, like 1 second.
Yeah, but a very small. My point that I'd forgotten was that the other thing that we are recommending is that the URS provider and ICANN have agreements put in place, and part and parcel of that will be completely things like DPAs. So, you know, all these have to be read together, not just necessarily in isolation with this one.
I think we're going to call it. So is there any group that can't live with this modified language, proposed language, and we will need to come back and present to you the introductory phrase, which we can do to have staff draft something for you to look at. But is there any group that can't live with the proposal in Section B?
Gina, this is Amr. If I could respond to both Alan Woods and Alan Greenberg real quick, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, go ahead, Amr.
Thanks. Is Amr again.
This is Amr again.
I'm getting a little bit of an echo. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not. But I largely agree with what Alan Greenberg said. We're not supposed to be, you know, relitigating or redesigning the UDRP or URS that's far beyond the scope of this EPDP. And as far as what's already in the temp spec, in terms of disclosure of data, you know, there's a lot about the temp spec that we've been going through and we've been trying to improve from a GDPR compliance perspective. All I am suggesting is that we need to do this in this instance as well. Right now, we haven't discussed the legal basis for disclosing data by a UDRP provider or an examiner to another third party. We're talking about two third parties here. To just kind of, I don't want to say sneak this in, but sort of rush this through the doors during the review of the public comments is not something I think we should be doing. We're trying to work here to make sure that the temporary specification replacement is GDPR compliant. This does not achieve that purpose. And as far as this specific example is concerned as well, again, I stand by the fact that I believe this is an access issue. This is about a third party disclosing a data subject's personal data to another third party. And this needs to take place within a very different discussion, not the one we're having here. And to the extent that actual revisions of the procedure, of whether it's the UDRP or the URS, need to take place, I agree that this is not something we should be doing ourselves. It's way too much work for us. We don't have the expertise we need. But the whole playing field has changed here. Like I said earlier, these two procedures were designed based on an open and public rules. That's changed. Obviously, these procedures need to be changed. They need to be amended in many ways, some of them mostly because of GDPR compliance. I don't think what we're proposing here does that, and I'm not sure how contracted parties or other stakeholders believe that we are achieving this. I'd like someone to point that out to me if I am mistaken. Thank you.
Hey, Amar, this and everybody else, this is Kurt. So to the extent it's helpful, these changes were made by a result of public comment, and those public comments were made by a URS and UDRP provider that were describing the process as it exists. And so they had implemented, what's in the temp spec, but we're relating to how things happen now. So that's why they took the word DOE out as an example, because DOE doesn't translate across jurisdictions. But also this additional elaboration is a reporting by the URS and UDRP providers for how it's operating now. So all we're doing is we're not attempting to amend anything. We're just providing clarity to the temp spec.
So I think in the room we have support for moving ahead. I think for the non-commercial stakeholder group, if as a group you are unable to support this proposed language, then we need you to submit that in writing to the staff to be included in the initial report. But maybe you all can speak to one another and determine as a group how you feel about this particular recommendation. So what I'm going to propose is that we move, David, to 17 and 18, and while people are discussing those, we can modify the intro language to recommendation 15 and then give that to people to look at maybe in the chat and pick that back up to finalize.
That's a great idea. So let's move on to 17 and 18. Let's do it together. So take 10 minutes and do that. And I think with Amar's concern on 15, let's figure out what to do with that and see when you look at the package of recommendations if we still need to do something more than that. Okay. So what did I say, 17, 18? 17, 18, if we can get the timer up again, and we'll do Terry, if you have a second to put the timer up. Thanks. And yeah. So we'll come back and do 17 and 18. Thanks, folks.